Probably thinking, oh no, now what's he up to? Well, I'm speaking at all masses this weekend. Well, 9 of the 10, because this mass and the 7:30 at Incarnation overlap. And as hard as I've tried this past year, I find that I still can't be in two places at the same time. So I will give this message at Incarnation next Sunday. So if you want to hear it again, you know where to come to. As your pastor and administrator, it is my responsibility to communicate with you as much as possible about various aspects of the parish. And at the very strong recommendation of all four of our finance councils, I need to speak to you about several important items, including our financial situation, which honestly is very serious. As you can see from the financial report included in your bulletin this weekend, it looks like this. And it looks long and complicated, but actually it's written in a very user-friendly manner. And it unfortunately indicates a shortfall of, take a breath, $333,113 for the past fiscal year, which ended June 30th. Now, this is all four parishes combined. I urge you to take the report home with you and study it carefully. If you have questions for me, that's okay. The best communication method is email, and my email address is in the bulletin, and those emails come directly to my desk. No one else sees them. And please, in your communications, be responsible and respectful. No anonymous notes or phone calls or messages of any kind. They're cowardly, and I do not accept them. Now, if you think our grouping is the only one struggling, we aren't, because all groupings in the diocese are facing the same circumstances, many of them far worse than ours. And I think there are two main reasons for this, and they came together like a perfect storm. One is the On Mission project, which has alienated some people. And the other is the fallout resulting from the grand jury report of last year, which was devastating and has alienated many more. I'm not afraid to address these elephants in the room, so let me briefly talk about them. First, the On Mission for the Church Alive effort, as we know, is not very popular. But it is critically necessary. With the steady decline of participating Catholics in the pews, and with the alarming decrease in the number of priests, you saw the numbers I put in the bulletin a couple weeks ago, there really is no other choice. Many dioceses across the country are doing something similar. The consequences of the grand jury report are another story entirely, because in addition to the unbelievable harm this abuse has left with its victims, it has also caused serious damage to the level of trust people need to place in the church in general and in their priests in particular. Many of you are angry. Some are very angry. I know this because I hear this from you. And you know what? I am angry too. Some of you have heard me say this. I am angry. I have given my life to the church, and I feel it has let me down. How do we repair this? There is no quick fix. It will take time, a long time. In the meantime, however, we here have a job to do, and that is to do what the church has always done. We bring Christ to others, and we bring others to Christ. In a nutshell, that's our responsibility, just as it always has been. Nothing will change that. Because most of us here are baptized and confirmed, we need to fulfill that commitment we made when we received those sacraments. It's no surprise that this anger and disappointment has played out in two ways: our mass attendance and our finances. Some are staying away from mass because they're angry, as I mentioned. Others are staying away because they no longer feel connected and don't appreciate the importance of worship and the sacraments. This is not just a church problem, it's a cultural issue. Still others find the church's current difficulties a convenient excuse not to be involved. Finances are another story, but we're working hard on ways to address this issue in a very realistic way so that we can bring our income and our expenses together. And although it might mean painful cuts in staffing and service, it just needs to be done. We have already been moving in this direction and have eliminated some staff positions and combined some others, and this will continue. We've also sold some property and buildings we don't need. But frankly, I need your help. I can't do this alone. If you've reduced your contributions recently, I urge you to look into your heart and reconsider. The offertory collection is our largest and most important source of income to cover our costs, some of which are not in our control, like insurance and utilities and taxes. Yes, the church does pay some taxes. By not contributing to your parish, you are only harming your parish. And let me say this, no contributions from parishes are being used by the diocese to pay for that compensation fund that you've heard about for those abused by clergy or other church personnel. That fund is being assembled from several sources, including insurance, and especially by the sale of diocesan properties that had been purchased in years past for investment and possible sites for new parishes. Now let me talk about parish share. This cannot be used for victim compensation simply because every bit of it is necessary for diocesan day-to-day functioning, the paying of their ordinary bills. And even that has been drastically reduced recently by the restructuring of central administration and the termination of about 25% of diocesan staff. So they really are cutting to the bone as well. Meanwhile, to think you are hurting or punishing the diocese or the bishop by withholding or reducing your parish share contribution, please think again. Listen carefully to this. The diocese gets their assessment from each parish, whether that parish collects enough parish share contributions or not. If there's a shortfall, the full assessment must be paid anyway. And where does that come from? It comes from the parish's operating fund, which will be assessed the following year. So the parish is actually paying twice when you do this. This is why it always pays to be generous to parish share. And if there is overflow, if there is more than the assessment, the diocese can't get their hands on it. That stays here. And it is not assessed the following year. Some parishes use this as an ongoing fundraiser. St. Teresa has done this, so has St. Sebastian. In many cases, these parishes have pulled in twice the assessment. And all that money stays in the parish where it needs to be used for various projects, paving and painting and repairs and so forth. So you can see what a bargain this is. Next, your contributions to the capital campaign are also safe because they are legally assigned to the individual parish projects they were intended for. We've been reviewing those plans for all four parishes and we're already moving forward with some of them. Here's another elephant in the room. What if the diocese needs to declare bankruptcy? This has been mentioned recently in the local news media, and it certainly is a possibility. Some say it is a probability. How will that affect the parishes? Well, I'm no expert on bankruptcy laws, but I don't believe it will affect us directly financially, but possibly it may affect us in the services and other assistance we get from diocesan central administration, which, by the way, is considerable. But for a number of years now, each parish is legally identified as a Pennsylvania Charitable Trust, which means the financial ties between the diocese and the parishes are not as tight as they used to be. Here's the final elephant. I know there is also the fear of closing church buildings. You want to hear this clearly. That is not in my plans, and it never has been. When I merged four parishes in McKeesport 26 years ago, when I was much younger and had more energy, one of those churches was closed by the diocese just before the merger for several reasons, one of which was that it was falling down. But the other three churches were still open when I left there 7 years later. I was able to keep them open because the people supported them. If we could do that in the inner city of McKeesport, we can do that here too, if you want. That's up to you. But you know, this is not just about money or church buildings or changes that we don't like. It's about relationships and it's about people. First, we need to consider the victims of any kind of abuse by those who represent the church. This is reprehensible. Those people need our prayers and any other kind of support we can give them. We've also lost people in the pews for various reasons and would like to have them back. If you know of someone who has left the church, a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, encourage them to return. You're here. You're here because you want to be. And that in itself can be a great witness to others. Don't ever underestimate the power of your example. And here's something that may help you do that. Bishop Robert Barron's book, in fact, this is even mentioned in by Deacon Bob in our bulletin today, Letter to a Suffering Church. A bishop speaks on the sexual abuse crisis. It's not a very big book, as you see, but there's a lot in here. It takes a very direct look, an honest look at what has happened. I know some of you have already read it and have found it very helpful. I read it while I was on retreat a couple months ago, and then I went back and read a couple sections of it again, and I deeply appreciate its simple yet profound message. In particular, chapter 4 is entitled, Why Should We Stay? It's a very good question. Bishop Barron quotes a passage from St. John's Gospel when Jesus was being abandoned by many of his disciples because they found his preaching too much to take, just like us here, too much of a change from our former ways. When Jesus says rather sadly to his closest apostles, "Do you also wish to go away?" There is silence until Peter finally responds, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." It's a powerful moment. And for us today, the context is a little different, but the basic principle remains the same. Jesus is still here. He's right here with us. He's here with us now. He's here in his word that you hear proclaimed from this ambo. He's in his sacrament, which we celebrate here at this altar. He's in the assembly of believers because he promised, "Where two or three are gathered, I am there." He's here, and he hasn't abandoned us. So Bishop Barron concludes that the devil has been hard at work, using these challenges to pull people away from the church. What a great target we are for him, huh? Or her. And the devil has succeeded to a point, and will succeed even more if we let him. That's why Bishop Barron strongly suggests that we don't leave, that we don't give up, that we stay and fight. That's what he says, stay and fight. Don't let the devil win. In today's second reading, St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and tells them, "The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one." We as the body of Christ are much bigger than any one parish community. And this is the whole idea behind the Church Alive. And while we may mourn the past and dislike the changes that have come upon us, we cannot deny the circumstances that have brought us to this point. So we have to support the new reality to the best of our ability if we cherish our faith. That's why we need to stay and fight. Again, please consider what you contribute to your church, not just financially, but especially in ways that are just as important. Your time, your energy, your effort, your interest in participation, your abilities and talents. We need this. You know, somewhere down the road, I'll be either retired or dead, hopefully in that order. But most of you will still be here. What kind of a parish do you want this new one to be? I've come to know many of you this past year, and I truly believe you want a parish that is not only alive, but lively. One that truly serves its people and this community, just as we are called to do. We have to begin laying that foundation now. I've taken enough of your time, and I have several other masses to get to. Please pray for your clergy and parish staff that have the awesome responsibility of leading this massive effort. For all of us, it really is an act of love. And thank you for listening.